Good morning. Almost wanted to start it. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here in the presence of these many friends and family to join this man and this woman. We are in that wedding gauntlet right now for our family. One down. We got Allison and Ben married off yesterday, and Emily and Austin next weekend, and it'll all culminate with William and Rue on June 1st. Right? June 1st, yeah. So that's where we are. Muhammad Ali, of course, one of the greatest heavyweight boxers in sports history, was not only a skilled boxer, but he was also maybe even more skilled at self-promotion. And he often used clever pieces of short poetry to capture the imagination of his audience. For example, of course, that famed little poem before the fight with Sonny Liston. He said that he was going to float like a butterfly and sting like a bee, and said that Liston's hands can't hit what his eyes can't see. But he also used that poetry to challenge others to do better. He once gave a message to a college audience in New York, and he told them to stay in college and get the knowledge. Stay there till you're through. If they can make penicillin out of moldy bread, they can sure make something out of you. Well, this morning we're going to read a little bit about a man that God made something out of. And he doesn't seem like much on the surface. Not a whole lot of us as Christians know who he was or really what he did, but he was important to God. God lists his name in Scripture, so God thinks it is important that you know who this hero of the Old Testament was and what he did. His name is Othniel, and that means the line of God, and he saved Israel from their sins. And just to give a little bit of a background, years before Othniel was even born, his uncle Caleb did something that impressed God. Caleb was just a young man when Israel was held in slavery in the land of Egypt. He was there when Moses came and challenged Pharaoh and said God told Pharaoh to let his people go. Caleb was there when God brought the 10 plagues upon Egypt to force Pharaoh to ask the people of God to leave. He was there when God parted the Red Sea to allow Israel to cross on dry ground and caused those same waters to collapse upon the chariots and armies of Pharaoh, destroying the might of Egypt. Caleb was there when the people of Israel came to the mountain of God, Mount Sinai, and he would have seen God come down upon that mountain with thunder and lightning and terrifying sound of the trumpet of God. And he was there just a few days later when God brought Israel to the very border of the land that he promised to give to his people. At that point, Moses had selected 12 men to go in and spy the land and to help him guide, decide which would be the best strategy to take Palestine. And two of those spies were Joshua and Caleb, which was Othniel's uncle. These two great men were overwhelmed by what they saw. It was literally to them a land that was flowing with milk and honey. They saw great cities that they wouldn't have to build. They saw orchards that they wouldn't have to plant and wells that they wouldn't have to dig. And most of all, they knew that God said it was all theirs. They remembered how God had brought the plagues upon Egypt, how he had parted the Red Sea, and how he had showed his fearsome power at Mount Sinai. These two were convinced if God was giving them this land, that there was nothing that could stop them. However, the other 10 spies didn't see it that way. They saw exactly the opposite of what the other two did. They saw the land with its beauty and splendor, but these wonders were overshadowed by something else. They saw giants in the land, and in those giants, they saw defeat. They saw disaster. They saw death, and they were afraid. And their fear spread to the entire camp, and the people became so frightened that they refused to obey God and enter the promised land. And so, in essence, God said, fine, if you don't want to go in, you don't have to. And you will never enter the land that I promised you. You adults are going to die here in the desert. And so, everyone there died in the desert, save for Caleb and Joshua. They were allowed to enter the promised land. They were the men who believed God's promise about the promised land. And so 40 years later, Caleb enters the promised land at somewhere around the age of 85. And he was still convinced at that time that if God promised something, God would do it. And so in Joshua 14:12, this is Caleb speaking to Joshua, and he tells him, "So give me now this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out just as the Lord said." God promised, Caleb believed, and this 85-year-old man cleaned out that land of the giants. And Othniel here is his nephew. And so what was special about him? Well, let's look again, and I have learned if you want to be humble, pick out some verses from the Old Testament and try to figure out how to pronounce those things. It'll keep you humble. Beginning in verse 7 of Judges chapter 3, it says, "And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Asherah. Therefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the people of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. But when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the people of Israel, who saved them, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother." And all throughout the book of Judges, it's the same story. Israel doesn't learn a lesson easy. The people sin. God punishes them by selling them into the hands of their enemies. The people repent and they plead for God to forgive them. God raises up a judge or a deliverer to save them. And Israel is at peace as long as that judge lives. And then the cycle starts all over again. What's interesting here is that Othniel is the first of the judges. God chose him to deliver Israel from the result of their sins. And why choose Othniel? What was so special about him? Well, maybe just a few reasons. First is that Othniel was a man who was infected. He was infected with faith. And he caught his faith from someone else. He caught that faith from his uncle Caleb. Othniel had learned from Caleb how to have a bold faith and how to live a courageous life. And I don't want you to misunderstand me. Caleb was a man of faith, but Caleb's faith wasn't in himself. It wasn't in his own strength or cleverness or abilities. Caleb's faith was based in a God who would always be there for him. There was no challenge that he wouldn't take on as long as God was by his side. Similarly, David said this in Psalms 18:2, that the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. This is the kind of man or woman that God is looking for. He's looking for a David. He's looking for a Caleb, for an Othniel. Othniel was a man of faith, and I believe he was a man of faith because he hung around his uncle. In the first chapter of Judges, we find that Caleb is asking for somebody to step up and take out an important city for him. In Judges 1, beginning in verse 12, it says there that Caleb said, "He who attacks Kiriath-Sepher and captures it, I will give him Asa, my daughter, for a wife." And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, captured it. And he gave him Asa, the daughter, for a wife. Othniel doesn't say a word anywhere in the book of Judges. Apparently, he's not a man of words, but he is a man of action. Caleb throws down the challenge for someone to take the city. And Othniel, he gets up and he goes and he takes it. And I believe it is because he hung around Caleb. Caleb did stuff like that. Caleb trusts God and does mighty deeds. And if Caleb can do that, I think Othniel figures he can do it too. Paul writes of that attitude in Philippians 4:13, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We have that same promise as Christians that Caleb and Othniel had in their day. The same God who backed them up is here today to back us up as well. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. But I'm also convinced that Othniel became a man of faith because he hung out with a man of faith. And really, that's what we're here today doing as well. That's what a church should be. Church is a place where we can be with other men and women of faith. There are people who will tell you that they can be just as good a Christian wherever they are without ever darkening the doors of a church. I just can't find that to be the case. They can claim to be a good Christian without going to church, but I just don't think they can be as good a Christian that way. Church is designed to be a place where we rub off on one another, a place where we strengthen each other, a place where we challenge each other to do great deeds. The writer of Hebrews was convinced of this too, because by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the writer here in chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 of Hebrews tells us to let us consider how to stir each other up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Meeting together here as a church in the Bible studies and the Sunday school is not just an end in itself. You can have all the attendance pins you like, but really that in and of itself is not enough. We are to be here in church to leapfrog on each other's faith, to build on each other's faith, and to grow stronger together. I've been looking at a lot of old bulletins here lately, and I found one for a gospel meeting that was going to occur, and the challenge there was every member every night. And I imagine that was a very tough challenge, but that's the kind of faith that I'm talking about. And so back here in Judges, Othniel was chosen to save Israel because their sins had infected them. And he was so infected with his faith that I believe that Othniel was chosen because he had been prepared beforehand. Othniel didn't just sit around staring at the sky all day. He had an active faith when God chose him. He had already gotten used to acting on that faith when he took the city for Caleb. When God wanted a man, Othniel was ready. You think about some of the great heroes from Scripture, men like Abraham and Joseph and David and others like that. But you think about some of the other heroes, and a lot of them are only known for one thing that they did. You think about Noah. What's Noah known for? Well, he built a boat, right? He built an ark and floated on the water for a while. Big deal. But it was a big deal. Gideon was known for defeating the Midianites with just 300 men. Esther, a beautiful queen, was known for only one thing, for putting her life on the line to save her people, Israel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they are known for being put into that fiery furnace. But really, that's the only thing of importance they did in Scripture. But again, that was a very important thing. You have Andrew, one of the 12 disciples, and all he did was tell his brother Peter to come and meet Jesus. Of course, there's Ananias, who is only known for baptizing Paul into Christ. Nothing else is said about Ananias in Scripture. He's not mentioned before or after this church and really world-changing conversion. And you could go on and on and on about other great people of great faith like them in Scripture. Many were one-hit wonders, so to speak. They were only known for one thing, but it is that thing that was something that shaped the course of biblical history. And just something else to point out, God didn't just pluck them out of thin air. They had been training for years to be the kind of people that they would become. There was a professor of sociology at the University of Connecticut, and he wrote a book called Rescuers, Portraits of Holocaust Survivors. And in it, he interviewed people who had harbored fugitive Jews in their homes despite the danger to themselves and to their families. And what he found was that many of these rescuers had a history of doing good deeds before the war ever started. Some visiting people in hospitals, others collecting books for poor students, and still others just taking care of stray animals. But these were people that were in the habit of doing good. If they hadn't perceived that pattern as something natural, well, very true, it could be said during that time, they could have been paralyzed into inaction. But they did what came natural to them. And that's what God is looking for. People who have gotten into the habit of being faithful to God. 2 Chronicles 16:9 in part tells us that the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. God's looking for people of faith and faithfulness so He can strengthen and use them for great things. And that's why God chose Othniel here. And lastly, this morning, I believe Othniel was chosen because he did what God had set him up to do. And I know that's sort of an odd thought, but I really do believe that God sets us up once in a while, that He puts us in the right place at the right time to do the right thing because He wants to prove something. And you just consider these facts about Othniel. Number one, he was from the tribe of Judah. His name means Lion of God. He was chosen to be the rescuer of Israel. And he rescues God's people from their sins. Now, does that sound like anybody else we come across in the Bible? Well, we know that Jesus came from the tribe of Judah. Revelation 5:5 points out that he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he was sent to rescue us from our sins. But I think God even threw in an extra nugget for us here. The bad guy in the story here, the guy whose name we can't say, this Cushan Rishathaim. Now, aside from the fact that he's got a really hard name to pronounce, it has a meaning. His name means double wicked blackness. Now, does that sound like anyone else we know from Scripture? I think we can point to Satan. The Lion of God came to defeat one who was doubly wicked blackness so that we might be freed from the curse of our sins. Again, the writer of Hebrews in chapter 2, beginning in verse 14, tells us that since therefore the children share in the flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Maybe not for you. I thought that was kind of a neat little twist to the story. And it's all tied back to Othniel, a simple man who was willing to trust God and to serve God and to be used by God. And my point is this, is God is looking for folks who are willing to trust Him, willing to serve Him, and willing to let Him set them up to do something powerful for His kingdom. And you don't have to be particularly smart to have God use you. Look at who is behind the pulpit this morning. I always say that I ended up behind a pulpit as the result of a game of chicken. And most of you all have heard this story. Kansas needed somebody every couple of weeks. And Dad asked if I was interested. It scared me to death to serve the Lord's Supper. So I said, "You bet." And I waited and waited until he told me he was joking. I'm still waiting to be told. But that's how it happens sometimes. That's my point is that I wasn't all that impressive. I'm not all that smart. But God used me anyway. And that's the story, really, of Othniel as well. A man who God made something out of. A man who God chose to be his man at the right place, at the right time, for the right reasons. And that is what God is looking for in you and me as well. He's looking for someone that he can use. He's looking for you. But this morning, God isn't able to use you unless you belong to him. And so this time will be for you, if you are not a Christian, to make that decision to come and to be buried in the waters of baptism, to be risen up to walk in a newness of life, to be ready to be used by God for his purpose. This morning, if you're not a Christian, we urge you to come as together we stand and we sing.